All right, 1 John chapter number 5, and let's read. Let's see. Where do I want to start here? We'll just read verse number 20. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. What did we preach on this morning? The love of the truth. What it boils down to is Jesus Christ. When Judas Iscariot, I'll get right here in a minute. When Pontius Pilate said, "What is truth?" he was looking at it. He was looking right at him. But he wasn't able to see it. They say that Judas Iscariot kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. He was looking at truth. He walked with him and talked with him for all of his ministry and still went to hell. There's going to be people in this world that are going to live in the presence of God all their life without even knowing it. When Jacob betrayed his brother Esau, which he didn't have to do, God would have given him those things somehow anyway. But when he deceived his father and stole the blessing from his brother and ran out into the wilderness on his way up to Abraham's kinfolk, the Bible says he laid down and went to sleep, and a set of stairs, what people call Jacob's ladder, was let down. And the Bible says that there was angels moving up and down on that ladder. And when Jacob woke up, he said, "Surely God was in this place, and I didn't know it. I knew it not," he said. It'd be a terrible thing to live next door to a church or live next door to a Christian all of your life, and actually hear them say words about God and talk about goodness and talk about righteousness and talk about the Bible and not hear any of that stuff with the spiritual ear and go to hell. It'd be a terrible thing. But it will happen. It will happen. That will happen. So the Bible says, "We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true," thank God, "even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." And tonight I'm going to preach to you about this first part of the verse. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. Have you ever asked the question, what's going on in the world? If you've got a Bible, you also have an understanding. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved." When he says study, he's not talking about mathematics and science. He says study, he's talking about studying the Word of God. If you'll put the time in to study God's Word, God will show you what's going on in the world. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. So while I pray, you pray and ask God to give you an understanding, because we are going to cover a lot of ground tonight. I can't promise you how long or how short this sermon is going to be. But I will say this, if it gets to be 11:30, and you got to go home, just slip out. I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm not going to get upset with you. It may only take 30 minutes for me to go through this, but I'm not going to make you no promises. But I do have a message that I want you to see. I don't want you to just hear it. I want you to see it. I want you to understand it. I want to get your mind wrapped around it, because what you're talking about ultimately is a war between good and evil. And if you don't know what the battlefield looks like, if you don't know who all the regiments and companies and battalions who are involved in this battle is, you're going to get knocked out. A lot of times you'll think it's your enemy and it's really your friend. A lot of times you'll think it's your friend and it's really your enemy. So you got to know, the Bible says about the devil, we're not ignorant of his devices. So tonight we're going to learn a little bit about what's going on in the world. Dear Lord, we thank you tonight for your goodness and for your mercy. And Lord, we're met here tonight, and I thank you for it. I thank you for each and every person, God, that's come in the building tonight. And Lord, we're not great in number, but neither was Gideon's band. And Lord, we're even fewer in number than that. But Lord, we do thank you that we're two or three are gathered together in your name. There you'll be in the midst. And I thank you for that. And I pray, God, you'd help us to just settle our minds. I pray, God, you'd help us to focus on what is real and what is true for just a few minutes. And Lord, I'll thank you and praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, the first thing you're going to ask yourself, and if you're not careful, you'll be asking yourself this the whole sermon long, and then you'll miss a blessing. I think you'll miss a blessing at any rate. But what you've got to get out of your mind right now is, why is Brother Mike wearing overalls? because I felt like it. Amen? I felt like it. Amen? I wanted to see how the well-dressed folks felt when they come to church. Amen? But when I approach a topic like we're going to touch tonight, I like to be just as comfortable as possible. And if somebody hears this sermon on the internet, or if somebody hears about this sermon, I don't want them to hear about some slick, smooth, well-polished preacher. I want them to just an old country boy, John the Baptist, coming out of the wilderness wearing camel skins and eating bugs. I mean, just as base and just as lowly as it can possibly be. Because you can be a dirt poor farm boy and God show you something out of God's Word. You don't got to be no rich, slick, smooth doctor. You don't have to be that kind of stuff to get something from God. You don't have to. All you have to do is say, God, you're right and I'm wrong. Not God, you and me are both right. One of the biggest mistakes that preachers make, one of the biggest mistakes that gospel witnesses make, is they think it's them and God against everybody. That's not the case. No, sir. It's God for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? If you're a preacher, you're a part of us. If you're a college professor and you're saved, you're a part of us. You're not above us. That's why you know the Pope's not true. That's why you know the Pope's kin to the devil, because he tries to set himself up above us. Not above you, above us. There is no popes. No such thing. There's no such thing as a Baptist Pope or a Catholic Pope. There's only God and us. That's all there is to it. So, Brother Mike, I'd like to know what's going on in the world. You go to God for that. You go to God's Word for that. Amen? And He'll give it to you. Amen? And you don't have to have a college degree or a tie or a cleanly shaven face. All that stuff is preference. Amen? And so tonight, let's just be people. Let's just focus on what God has for us, and let's learn something, and let's go out of here and apply it to our lives. Amen? If you'll take every bit of this that's given to you tonight as real and true and accurate, of course, hey, write down the verses, take it home and look at it for yourself. If I was a charlatan, I'd say, now close your Bibles and listen to me, and I'm going to tell you how it is, and if you disagree with me, then you must not be right with God. That's what a charlatan says. That's what a phony says. Listen, you write down the verses that I'm going to show you. Hey, I've got them all written down here, right here for you. All you got to do is pay attention, and after service you can come up and you can copy down every scripture, go home and study it, and see for yourself if it's true or not. But if you'll take it and apply it to your life, boy, you'll get something out of it that'll wake you up, I suspect. I suspect it'll wake you up. So have you ever asked the question, what's going on in the world? It don't make a lot of sense, does it? It don't make a lot of sense that Republicans, and if you want to just boil this down from the world to America, that's fine, because it'll all fit. But have you ever wondered why you get Republicans and Democrats and they fuss at one another, and then they get up to Washington and the same thing happens whether it's a Republican or a Democrat? That just don't make sense to you, unless you come to the conclusion and just tell yourself there ain't no difference in them. One will take you to the devil's side real fast and want to give you a slow ride. But if you get there, what's the difference? If that's where you wind up, that's where you wind up. Amen. So what's going on in the world today? I'm going to try to explain that to you just a little bit. And of course, every bit of it's going to be from the Bible, not going to be any opinions whatsoever. And we'll start off just like this right here. If there is words up here that you can't read, don't worry about that. That's really to keep my thought processes in line. And like I say, after church, you're welcome to come copy it down or forget about it. That's up to you. That's between you and the Lord. But if you want to know what's going on in the world, that's what's going on in the world right there, power. You go to any place on this earth and that's the main question that's going to come up. Who's in charge here? You got a problem with your furniture, you go down to Babcock, you walk in, you don't want to talk to Molly. You say, who's in charge here? Ain't that right? If my dog breaks into your yard and kills your chicken, which it has been known to do, you don't come to my house and look for my little 12-year-old girl. You come in my yard and say, who's in charge here? That's what you say. You go to the United States Supreme Court, you say, who's in charge here? You go to Congress, you say, who's in charge here? You don't go to Congress and look up the junior senator that just got elected 2 weeks ago. You go to the House leader, or you go to the Senate majority leader. That's who gets stuff done. That's who decides things. Who's in charge? Who's in charge? Who's in charge here? Who's in charge here? George Washington got elected as the chief of all the armed forces in the United States during the Revolutionary War. He was up there in Massachusetts trying to work everything out. John Adams come through one day and said, "Well, what kind of authority do I got anyway?" And basically, to make a long story short, John Adams said, "You have charge of everything from coast to coast." Now that's highly summed up, but that's what he told him. He said, "You're in charge of everything. What you say goes. If it's the military in Massachusetts, if it's the military in Virginia, if it's the military in Georgia, you are the head man in charge." That's who's in charge. And that's been the question since Adam was in the Garden of Eden. The devil showed up and said, look what God's going on here. Let me see who's really in charge. Hey, you want to eat off of this tree? And the lady says, "God said we can't." Did God really say that? And what was he trying to do? He was trying to get himself in charge. So let's talk about who's in charge. And we're going to go down this side first. I started to put the devil over here and the Lord over here. But I put the devil over here because the Bible says God's on the right hand of the... Or Jesus is on the right hand of the majesty on high. So I put him over here. And this is going to represent a battle to see who gets to sit on this throne right here. I don't know if you can recognize it or not, but that's a throne. And there's a crown up there, and whoever gets to wear that crown is the one that's in charge. So let's go and see 2 Corinthians chapter 4 there. Let's look in our Bible. We are going to turn to a lot of Bible verses tonight. A lot of Bible verses. And we're going to take straight from the Bible and see what's going on in this old wretched world that we live in. If you don't get a Bible perspective, you don't know what's going on. They say if you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you read the newspaper, you're misinformed. If you want to find out what's going on, you read a Bible. You read a Bible. That'll tell you what's going on. The Bible's the only place truth has ever been found. Ever. Ever. You say, what about in the temple? God said in the temple. You say, what about in a Baptist church? God has to be the one that's true. Yea, let God be true and ever man a liar. That's exactly right. Now look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and let's start reading in verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. See what it says right there? That's what we're concerned with in this verse. The God of this world. There is a God of this world. This world that you and I live in, there's a God in that world. And the Bible says the God of this world blinds people's minds so they can't see the truth. You go knock on somebody's door and you say, "You believe in Jesus, don't you?" "Yes." "You believe in God, don't you?" "Yes." "You believe in the Bible, don't you?" "Yes." "Do you want to be saved?" "No." "Well, I just don't understand that." "Why wouldn't you?" "I'm just not ready yet." "Well, why not?" "I don't know. I just don't have the right feeling," they'll say. And you know what it is? Their mind is blind. Their mind is blind. If I took a big old oven and I heated it 7 times hotter, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I was about to throw you in it, you'd get your feelings straightened out, wouldn't you? Well, they're blind to the fact that they're standing in front of an oven that's been heated 7 times harder than it should be heated, but they're blind to the fact that the door is open and waiting. The Bible says hell enlarges itself. It's getting ready for you if you're lost. Amen. If you're saved, you better thank God for that. But look what he says. He says there is a God of this world. So there is somebody, there is a God on this world that wants to sit on that throne and rule and reign over everything. We need to find out who that God is. So let's look and turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. I'll make sure I may get out of order here, but I think I can stay with the order that's on the board there and make everything understandable for you. Ephesians chapter number 2, and look at here. Are you saved?
Amen.
Are you saved?
Amen.
All right, well look. And you, you that are saved, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. At one time you were dead. The other verse we read said you was blind. The God of this world blinded the minds of them. See that? You were blind and you were dead. That's why we sing Amazing Grace. Somebody just didn't come up with that. Somebody didn't invent that song off the top of their head. That's Bible. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I'm alive. So he says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. A road's been laid out for you. A lot of people say, I'm choosing my own way. No, you're not. There's two people that can lay out your path for you in this world. One of them is God and one of them is the devil. Yes, sir. The Bible says in one place, it says that God, the people that reject God, God will choose their delusion for them. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God will give you over and let you be turned and believe a lie. And basically what he's doing, he's turning you over to the devil at that point. But what he says is, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. We used to walk that way. He said, in the lust of our flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. We were born that way. Nature. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Well, look what he says. The prince, in verse 2, the prince of the power of the air. So in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we saw a God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, we see a prince. See that? Now look in Revelation 2:12. Revelation 2:12, go through these things quickly, and you'll begin to see a picture forming here in the Bible. This is what the Bible says when it means rightly dividing the word of truth. You take things that are similar and the same, and go through there and just add them up, and it will add up too. The Bible won't contradict itself. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 12. And he says this, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. That's Jesus. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. So not only is there a God in this world, there's a prince in this world, but this prince has a seat and it's connected even with God's people. There are people who call themselves religious, people that call themselves godly, people that call themselves Christians, and they are dwelling. Christians are dwelling where Satan's seat is. Isn't that what we're talking about? A seat? And two people trying to see who can sit on it? Of course, the one has no doubt who's going to sit on it. The other one's trying. One's going to sit on it. But let me not get ahead of myself. Revelation 2:12 says, or 2:13 says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. He's talking to a church. He said, you are dwelling where the devil's seat is. Doesn't that wake you up to what we were preaching this morning? You are in such a battle that the devil has his soldiers, the devil has his powers in and amongst our brethren. Amen. Now, so he says, where Satan's seat is. He's connected with a seat. Now look at 2 Thessalonians with that in mind. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's a place where the devil wants to sit and show himself that he is a king. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's look in verse number 4. Verse number 4. Oh, let's see. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? So here is a God and a prince. A God in 2 Corinthians 4. A prince in Ephesians chapter 2. He has a seat in Revelations 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that seat is a mock throne in the church, in the temple of God. And the purpose of that seat is to show you he's God. See how all those things connect? that you can't separate those things. It's teaching you the nature of what's going on in this world. Now look in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter 4, let's look in verse number 8. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, I keep wanting to slow down. I really want to slow down, but if I do, I'm telling you, it's going to take a long time to get through this. But in Matthew chapter 4, it's the temptation of Jesus. Look at verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So there you know what's going on. And in this temptation, look in verse number 8. Again, has the devil ever tempted you once? It's going to happen again. Again. You know, after the devil tempted the Lord, if you'll go on and read this, and you'll read this account in your Bible, it says after the Lord was tempted by the devil, the Bible says that the devil left him for a little season. That's what he'll do to you. He'll come and tempt you. If you know what's going on, you'll be able to fight those battles. And when he leaves you alone, don't say, well, I'll never have to face that again. You're supposed to not be ignorant of his devices, because he's going to come back and tempt you again. Verse 8, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms. Isn't that what we're dealing with when we're talking about a man sitting on a throne? Talking about kingdoms. Kings rule over kingdoms. So the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, the devil says to Jesus, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So the biggest thing that the devil wants is worship. And he will trade your worship for Jesus' worship. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the revelation of God. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. God himself dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. Before God decided to make you and Eve in the garden, what he did was he said, I'm going to have to relate to these people. I'm going to have to talk to these people. I'm going to have to lead these people. I'm going to have to fellowship with these people. And these people cannot talk to a light. So he made himself into the image that he was going to create a man. So God dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. And God manifest himself as Jesus Christ, and the devil got in the mix. The devil misled Eve. The devil brought down Adam, and has been bringing down just about every man since then. And when he come to Jesus, he said, all these people that I'm trying to lead astray, I'll turn them over to you if you'll just get down and worship me. Because if he does that, there's nobody higher. The Bible says there's none other name given under heaven. The Bible says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. If you could get Jesus to worship you, you would be the top dog. The Lord says, the devil says to the Lord, he says, you can have all these people. You just worship me. I'll give it all to you. The Lord said, no, sir. Not going to do that. Well, he actually said here, he says, Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. In other words, what he's saying, the devil says to Jesus, the devil says, if you'll worship me, instead of sitting down here on this seat of power, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all these people. But what Jesus said is, God belongs in that seat. That's God's seat. But the devil says, I'm the God of this world. I can give you all these kingdoms. He's not God. He's the little G-O-D. He's the God of this world. And so let me say this at the beginning. All this stuff that you don't understand, Barack Obama's not behind it. The Illuminati's not behind it. The Freemasons are not behind it. The one that's behind it is the devil. It's this man right here. It's the one that wants to sit on this throne. Now look at John. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Again, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 17. 1 John 5. I don't know why it's so hard to find. I guess because it's such a small chapter, such a small... book, but 1 John 5:17, it says, all unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. We're going to talk about that at great length here in just a second. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one, see that? That's the God of this world, the wicked one. That wicked one toucheth him not. Now remember that phrase, that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God. Listen, this is what we know. We know that we are of God. Do you know that you're of God? Yeah. We know that we are of God. And this is also what we know. The whole world. You see that? How much of the world? The whole world. The Calvinists will say, well, not the whole world, just the ones that are not elect. That's not what your Bible says. The Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world. You say, well, we can get out in the world and play just a little bit, can't we? If you want to play in wickedness. You can. That's why it's so difficult. Remember what it said right up there in verse number 17? All unrighteousness is sin. And boy, if you just take that verse and really don't study it or think about it, well, you can make a mess out of everything. All unrighteousness is sin. Well, you know what? You know how to define that? The wages of sin is death. If it'll kill you, it's a sin. You know, water's not a sin. Did you know that? But if you could take water and somehow ferment it, corrupt it. See, people use nice words like ferment. If you corrupt it, it'll kill you. That makes it a sin. That's why you know that Jesus didn't turn the water into fermented wine. He wouldn't kill nobody, would he? Not that way, he wouldn't. Not at all. So you get into a great theological debate when you start talking about sin. Is it important in a lesson like this that we figure out what sin is? Yeah. I would say that it would. I've told you many times about the fact I used to chew tobacco, but I quit because it was a sin. You know why it's a sin? You know, let's go out here in the yard and get some grass and just chew on it. Is that a sin? Of course not. Of course not. Well, the tobacco leaf, just some type of a plant that's growing out of the ground. Ain't that right? Now listen to me. Listen to me. You go out there and you grow you a little tobacco patch, twist it up, pour some honey over it to give it some flavor, put it up in your barn, cure it out and chew it till the cows come home. That is not a sin. You say, well, why would you think Copenhagen was a sin? Because the devil, this world, took something that God made and packed it full of tar and pesticides and junk so that it's killed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. You say, well, we can roll our own that we grow. And so, you mean breathe smoke in your lungs? I don't believe that. Grow it your own, add nothing to it. Why would you draw smoke into your lungs? Your lungs wasn't made for smoke. It was made for oxygen. God breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, not the smoke of Marlboro. So you put a bunch of junk in it that's going to kill you, then that's a sin. You say, why? The wages of sin is death. Has anybody died from it? Then it's a sin. Say, well, I'll grow me some and twist it up myself and chew on it. Give me some when you get done. I don't care. It's just green stuff growing out there. You put something in it that'll kill you, then it's a sin. Is it right to kill yourself with it? All unrighteousness is sin. See, that's what the Bible just said. I was going to draw that up there, but I think you can get that without a drawing, can't you? Sure you can. What does the Bible say about the devil? We're talking about the devil now trying to rule over everything. The Bible says in John chapter 10 that he comes only for three things: to kill, to steal, or to destroy. And we're going to talk about all three of those things tonight. So here you've got, in 2 Corinthians, there is a God. In Ephesians chapter 2, that God is a prince. He has power in the air. It's a spiritual power. Did you know you can feel that? I wish every one of you would get prayed up and read your Bible enough to where you could feel that around some, when you get around people. You can do that. You fellas, have you ever, I mean, now listen, I hope you're mature with me and think about this just a minute. Have you ever got around somebody that's godly? I'm talking about you men. Get around a female that's godly, and you feel just about ashamed to even get around them. There is something there that is just not normal. And then get around somebody else, some tramp, and just feel the wickedest spirit. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, sir, it's there. What about when you go into a funeral home, that feeling that you feel? That's spiritual. There's nothing about the brick and mortar down at the funeral home that it's made of the same brick and mortar that this building's made out of. That's the way the devil operates. That's why I said this morning, you can put on the whole armor of God, and the weakest thing about you at that point would be the little thoughts that's going through your head. That's right. That's exactly right. I've been sitting down there at the McDonald's, and that little boy that used to come to church here that's been caught molesting two or three boys throughout the county, come in, sit down in one of them pews, and just the biggest spiritual wickedness you ever felt in your life just moved right in there with him. Yes, sir. And if he wasn't in public where the police could get at you, just take him out back and whoop the daylights out of him. Amen. You say, well, that's not a good Christian attitude. Well, neither is molesting little boys. Amen. If you don't like that, well, then there's something wrong with you. Come on in. Come on in. But here's what we got. We've got in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there is a God. In Ephesians chapter 2, that God is a prince. Revelation chapter 2, that prince has a seat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 reveals to you what that seat is. That seat is the seat that devil wants to use to show that he is a God. Matthew chapter 4, that prince, that God of this world, tries to offer all the kingdoms of the world to the Lord Jesus Christ if he'll just bow down and worship him. 1 John chapter 5 says that the whole world lies in wickedness. That's absolute truth. That's the devil. That's what the devil's after. The whole world lies in wickedness. That sounds pretty bad to me, don't it you? That sounds like a dangerous place to be, don't it you? Well, look here. The whole world. See that? Remember we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Well, follow this little red line here to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Now see, we set up all of this stuff right here just to show you who the devil is and what the devil's after. He wants to sit on this throne. Well, there's competition for that throne. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Have you read a Revelation chapter 11? Let's read Revelation chapter 11 together. Revelation chapter 11 together. You said, well, this is just about done. No, this is just getting started. Revelation chapter number 11. Revelation chapter number 11. And let's start reading in verse number 15. And the seventh angel sounded. Listen, Revelation is true, by the way. The Bible scholars and the Bible teachers and stuff like that have you believe that there may not be much truth to the book of Revelation. I'd leave that alone if I was you. Amen. I would leave that alone. I would leave the skeptics alone. The devil's always the one that's presenting question marks. Well, we're really not sure. Okay, if you're not sure, quit teaching the Bible. Go home and study a little bit. Then once you find out if you're sure or not, then you take it upon yourself to be a teacher of God's Word. The last thing that America needs, the last thing that the world needs right now is preachers that's not sure of what they're talking about. Amen? What did we read? Our opening verse out of 1 John chapter 5. It says, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. He didn't give us a guess-o. It's an also, amen? Well, he says here, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, great voices. To the world, these wouldn't be great voices. These would be voices of doom and gloom. But when the seventh angel sounds, it says there was a great voice in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." So we can spend all day talking about the prince and the God and the seat and describe the seat, and we can talk about the devil offering Jesus all these kingdoms and the whole world lying in wickedness. If the whole world's on the devil's side, don't make no difference. Jesus Himself is going to sit down in that seat. He's going to be the ruler and the reigner over everything. And that's going to settle it. That's going to settle it. Right now, the devil, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians, New Testament, it says the devil's the god of this world. One of these days, Jesus is going to step on his head. I thought I'd give you the good news first. And that's how this thing's going to turn out. But we got a lot more to talk about here, so let's look at this one. 1 John 5, and we've already read this. So I can go through this pretty quickly. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16 through 19, I read you the verse just a second ago, that wicked one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I read you the whole chapter this morning just about. He's called the mystery of iniquity, and he's called that wicked. Not just wickedness, he's called that wicked. That's his name. That's who he is. Satan. People worshiping Satan, or people trying to worship the devil, or claim they serving the devil. I don't know why you'd serve the devil, somebody that ain't never served you nothing. Somebody that's never done nothing for you. You say, what's wrong with him? He's wicked. The devil has good intentions for nobody. The Bible says he comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's all he come to do. Listen, if he gets in your family, he'll tear it up. If he'll get in your church, he'll tear it up. Amen? If he gets in your society, he'll tear it up. He'll tear it up. That's exactly what he'll do. He'll tear it up. That's all he's after. Verse number 16 and 17, here in John chapter 5, it talks about sin and death. Remember, we read there's a sin unto death. Let's read that again while we're at it. First John chapter 5, and I want you to see this very clearly, because I hope we don't have nobody leave here tonight that's an unbeliever. You say, Brother Mike, what do you believe the sin unto death is? I believe it's unbelief. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 16. Let's see, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, I'm glad God is long-suffering and merciful to us. Paul the Apostle said he was the chief of sinners. And I believe I'm right up there with him. Far be it from me to argue with the Scripture. If he said he's the chief, he's the chief. But I believe I'm one of his lieutenants. Amen? But I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God gave me the ability. God gave me the light. The Bible says Jesus Christ lighted every man that come into the world. I'm glad that I was able to see the truth. Amen. I'm glad my mom and daddy took me to church. Amen. Hey, I'm glad of that. Amen. I'm real glad about that. But he says, if a man sins a sin that's not unto death, he says, let me read the verse again. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. You know, you're supposed to confess your sins. If you was to tell a lie, you need to go home and ask God to forgive you for that. How do you ask God to forgive you for unbelief? That's an impossibility. There's no possible way you can ask God to forgive you for that. You know, one man come close, but he put a great statement in front of it. He said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." There's a measure of unbelief in all of us. You better hope that measure doesn't fill up the sum. Amen? Because you'll be doomed. You'll be doomed. I've seen people go to church and say they believe and then get a little bit of get a little doubt or something like that, and next thing you know they're full of doubts. Next thing you know they're out back in the world, and the Bible says the last state of that man is worse than the first. The Bible says that when the unclean spirit is going out of a man, it wanders through dry places, and then when it comes back, it finds everything clean. It's swept, it's garnished, it looks nice. But he says he goes and finds seven other unclean spirits worse than himself. And he says the last state of that man is worse than the first. You say, what is that? Unbelief moved in. Unbelief moved in, and it filled up the sum. John chapter 16, let's read that. And I think the best way to learn your Bible is Scripture with Scripture. So, John chapter number 16 says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, when the Holy Spirit's come, the Bible says He'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He says this, of sin, why? Because they believe not. Unbelief. Unbelief. Why do we need righteousness? Because you're going to get judged one of these days. Why is the Lord going to judge sin? Because they believe not on Him. He said, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because of judgment, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Remember, I said He was a God and He's a prince. When Jesus hung on the cross, He didn't just pay for your sins. He bought the right to put that prince's neck under His boot. He bought the right to do that. And when God comes back, He's going to judge sin. He's going to bring all this stuff to fruition because He's got the right to do it. The one that led Adam and Eve astray in the garden is the one that Jesus was victorious over when He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. Because the one that led you astray as man has been judged, you'll be judged now. Why didn't God just send Adam to hell right at the start? Because the prince hadn't been judged yet. What? God came to Adam and said, what'd you do this for? Adam said, that woman you gave me. He turned around to the woman and said, why did you do that? It was the devil. Who made the devil? Did God make the devil? He must have knew what He was doing then. He didn't make a mistake. So God didn't send Adam to hell right there. He said, one of these days I'm going to put my foot on the neck of that devil and then I'm going to turn around and say, okay, your turn. Your turn. And it would get quiet right about there. Of sin, because he said they don't believe. Well, let's take a little trip through Romans. You've heard of the Romans Road, Romans 3:23. I bet everybody knows that verse without even turning to it. But Romans 3:23, what does it say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Almost every one of us learned that the first day we met Jesus, didn't we? Somebody took us to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Then they took you right straight to Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. Have you sinned? Have you ever told a little lie? Yeah, buddy, I told some lot worse than some little white lies, I'll tell you that. Amen. Well, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Now, since we've read that, let's turn right over and look at Romans 6. Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see that? All have sinned. All have sinned. The wages of sin is death. Now let's look here, talking about the Lord triumphing over things. Look at 2 Corinthians, again, chapter 5. We were in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. And look in chapter 5, and look in verse 21. Now look. Now we're talking about God and Jesus in the same verse. For He. Now I'm going to add a word, but I don't dare add words to the Word of God. I'm adding this word so you understand who's being talked about here. For He, God, hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God made Christ to be sin for us on the cross. We're all sinners, right? Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about a devil that wants to be the god of this world. The whole world lying in wickedness, but God loving us enough that He could forego sitting on the throne. You know, a lot of people will hurt one another Remember we said the root of everything when we first started this sermon, the root of everything is who's in charge? You know, a lot of churches have been hurt by somebody not caring what happens to the people in the congregation. All they care about is who's sitting on the throne. Amen. Did you know as a minister of the gospel, you could do better good by not trying to prove you is in charge, but trying to benefit the people you're preaching to? And preachers quit their pulpits because those people never listened to me. Well, ain't you glad that God didn't quit His pulpit because you didn't listen to Him? He's going to get His pulpit. He's going to get His seat. But first, God so loved the world that lied in wickedness. So not only are we learning what the deal is with the world, we're learning how it's all going to work out. We know God's going to get His throne, but how's He going to get it? Now let's get this. Let me remind you of this. And that's good right now. 1 John 5:19, it said the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world. You see that? Well, then what's John Calvin running around saying? Some are born to go to heaven, some born to go to hell. The whole world lies in wickedness. Yeah, except for the elect. No, sir. He said, well, I was born predestinated. Yeah, you was born predestinated for that right there. Well, did you get saved? The Bible says you were dead in trespasses and sins. You wasn't dead in predestination. You wasn't dead in election. Excuse me, I meant to say election. You weren't dead in election. You weren't born dead in election. You were born dead in trespasses and sins. The wages of sin is death, not predestination and election. The whole world. You see that? All of us. All of us. All of us. Black, white, red, rich, poor, all of us. All of us, all of us, all of us. You're born to go to hell. Adam made sure of that. Now, just in case you don't believe that's true, look at Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14. Let's read that. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14. Boy, you got to make sure which side you're on here. Romans chapter 10. Listen, I hope there's nobody like this here, but if you're here thinking that you was born to go to heaven, tonight's the night for you to get that thing right. Romans chapter 10 says this, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So in light of that, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Well, easy, I'm elected. If Calvinism's true, don't worry, if Calvinism's true and God elected you to go to heaven, who can fight against that? So you can call or not call or come to church or not come to church. If you're predestinated to go to heaven when you're born, you go in there if God says you're going there. But that's not what God said. That's not what God said. You say, well, hadn't somebody been predestinated before the foundation of the world? Believers. You say, well, that's me. I'm a believer. I was predestinated. Not till you heard.
Right. That's right.
Not till you heard.
Right.
Well, what does it say? I mean, is Romans chapter 10, 4, I mean, that's at least as inspired as John 3:16, ain't it?
Amen.
If it's not, cut it out. If it's not Scripture, take it out. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Is that right or wrong? Of course it's right. Of course it's right. If it's Bible, it's right. If you disagree, you're wrong. And your mother too. You say, Brother Mike, that looks like the same thing you just put up. That's right. You learn by repetition. The whole world. 1 John 5. Let's look at verse 2 through 5. 1 John 5. Verse 2. Boy, John sure does know a lot, don't he? You notice that? We've been going back. John, 1 John, John, 1 John. He sure does know a lot. There's a lot of stuff in your Bible. Did you know there was more in your Bible than just John 3:16? Yeah, read it. Read it. It's good. It's twice as good as any rock music you're listening to all week. That's right. Got a little bit quiet. Got a little bit quiet right there. Look in chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It's based on belief. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. Now we get back to that John 3:16. For God so loved the world. How many of you would like to think that you love the world? Wouldn't you like to think that? You don't. You know what men have a hard time with? This is why I know you don't love the world. So I'm the best Christian there is. You still don't love the world. You shouldn't love the world, but I'm talking about in the sense that Jesus loved the world. The Bible tells us not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. You understand where I'm coming from. I'm so much like Jesus that I love the whole world. Don't give me that. You know what you're having the trouble with? Loving your neighbor. You don't even love your neighbor. You say, well, I've kept that part of the law. No, you hadn't, because if you broke some other part of the law, you broke that one too. James said if you offend that law in one point, you've broken the whole thing. Why do you sin publicly? Because you don't love the world. You'll set them a bad example quick if it'll benefit you. Amen. That's why people go to the club on Saturday night and go to church on Sunday morning. They don't care. That ain't right. That ain't right, folks. That's not love. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten. If you're a Christian, boy, you'll love other Christians. That's something you don't have to be taught. The Holy Spirit of God will teach you that. Amen. Amen. I've seen some Christians I wanted to strangle, but I strangle them in love. I love you, but you say you can't do that. You whoop your kids, don't you? Yes, you do. Look what he says in verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. What's all this legalism talk this day and time? You preach about doing right. Oh, he's a legalist. What are you, criminal? Ain't nothing wrong with doing right. Listen, you can't earn your way to heaven. The Bible says that whoever climbs up any other way is a thief and a robber. But you can do right after you get saved. Right. Amen. You sure can. For this is the love of God. This is the love of God. That's a big definition, ain't it? This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. What's with all these Baptists running away from Baptist churches saying, hey, what's all that? We don't like all these rules and regulations. Why not? I mean, which regulation is it that you're having a problem with? Well, I just don't like it when a man tells me how to dress. Why not? I mean, if I'm telling you to wear white shirts or pink shirts, if I'm telling you stuff like that, then you have no business listening to me. But if I tell you to dress modestly and you don't follow that, there's something wrong with you, not me. Because I'm allowed to go as far as the Bible goes on anything. You ain't mad at me, you're mad at God. His commandments are not grievous. I listen to some of them old men of God preach, Brother Tommy, and they're just firing right down. They're hitting me every time. Every breath is a 45 caliber slug to the chest, and I'm saying, give me some more! You say, why? His commandments are not grievous. What's it going to hurt me to do right? That don't hurt. The devil said jump off a bridge. People do that and wake up in the morning, they can't even hardly think straight. Man, didn't we have a good time last night? No, you knuckleheads, you didn't have a good time. If you can't remember it, you didn't have a good time. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, isn't that what we're talking about? Who gets to be in charge in this world? We talked about the sin unto death is unbelief. So you got two types of people. You got the living and the dead. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 says that God, Jesus Christ, is going to judge the quick and the dead. the quick and the dead, the alive and the dead. So there's live people, those are believers. There's dead people, those are unbelievers. Now let's read John chapter 17, and then we're going to get into what we come here for. John chapter 17. I tell you, John knows a lot. We're back and forth between John. John chapter 17. John 17. Let me tell you something. Some of the best Bible you'll read is from John 14 to John 17. That's one of my favorite parts in the Bible. There's a lot in there. It's an encouragement too. Because you can't read John 14 through 17 without knowing you on the winning side. You know what the major problem in Baptist churches, I mean, I'm not talking about from a spiritual standpoint, I'm talking about from a fleshly standpoint, almost everybody that comes to church wants to know, how do I get rid of depression? And John chapter 14 starts out, let not your heart be troubled. That's where you need to start, man.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen? Well, listen, I wish we could go through all of them, but we're going to look at John 17 and verse 13. Now look what it says. Jesus is praying right here. He's talking to His Father, and He says, now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Not depression, not grief. Now your flesh can get depressed. Mine does. Your flesh can get disheartened, can get upset, it can get downcast. But when you get downcast, you're supposed to be like David and say, look unto God, O my soul. Hope thou in God, O my soul. Talk to your soul. You know we're all crazy, don't you? Just certifiable. Just talk to yourself. Hey, self, you need to straighten out. You need to get up out of bed and get moving and quit laying around here being depressed like this. Amen. Some of you would be good if you was your own pastor. Amen. Well, some of you already are. Now look what he says. My joy fulfilled in themselves. That's a great promise right there. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Boy, just ruminate on that right there. I give them my word, and the world hates them. The world don't hate you because you're necessarily a Christian. The world hates you because you got that book in your lap. Yes, so you thought it was you. You was taking it personal. I don't know why nobody likes me. It ain't you. It ain't you. It's the Word. I have given them thy Word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You're not of the world. We've already read that several times in 1 John 5. But he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. There's two types of people in the world. There's living and dead. There's believers and unbelievers. You and I, if we're believers, we're sharing the world. We're sharing this space with people that don't believe like we do. They don't act like we do. They don't talk like we do. At least we shouldn't talk like they do and act like they do and speak like they do. But we're separated. He said, I'm going to leave them in this world, but I want to keep them away from the evil. Thy Word, separated by the Word. Verse 14 said that it was the Word that made the difference. Thy Word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Now let's look here. I'm going to wait right here until some of you recognize it and get a good laugh. Anybody see it yet? Ain't that what, if you sign up for Facebook, ain't that the one they give you if you don't upload an image? Ain't that the image? That means you don't have an image uploaded. Well, you know what the problem was in the Old Testament? They're worshiping an image. You remember this fellow right here? This devil that wants to sit on this throne, you know what 2 Thessalonians said? Said he was waiting to be revealed. He hadn't uploaded his image yet. But it's coming. It's coming. So, we were talking about this a while ago, talking about all the stuff that's going on in the world. You know, so if you get on YouTube, you'll find out the Illuminati runs the world. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. The Masons run the world. They run it. No, they don't. Have you been to the... Listen. Have you been to the Folkestone Masons Lodge? If they're running the world from that... That's exactly right. That's the one running the world right there. It's the devil. There he is right there. Revelation 12. Let's read Revelation 12. Ain't that a pretty picture? We'll come in next Sunday and some reprobate will have that tattooed on his leg or something. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And let's look and see in verse number 7 it says, Revelation 12 and verse number 7, I can't find chapter 12, there it is. Verse number 7, it says, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Their place, possesseth, their place. They did have a place, they don't have a place anymore. That's why they're fighting for the world. They prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon, that's the devil, was cast out, that old serpent. He's the one that was in the garden. He's real. You know, there's a major religious teaching now that the devil is just that inner influence that wants you to... No, sir, there's a real devil. He's real. And you know what? The Bible describes him as a serpent and a dragon. And it, as far as the description goes, boy, I wouldn't want to run into that nowhere, would you? I surely wouldn't. Mighty David or not, if that thing shows up in here, I'm going out the window. You fend for yourself. Is that... But you know the devil ain't going to show up like that to you. He'd probably be the most beautiful thing you ever seen if he showed up. If he walked in today, all you men go, oh, that's a man right there. And you ladies would go, oh. Because that's what he is. That's what he is. He's a lie. He's a lie. You know what vanity is, ladies? 45 minutes, mirror. That's what the devil is. It's a lie. You didn't wake up looking like you look right now. Men or women. You know what the sad thing is men today. In the mirror. Hey, just rub some water across it and come on. You men ain't pretty. But my old preacher said, ladies, if the barn needs painting, you paint it. Second Thessalonians said this devil is going to be revealed one of these days. He's not going to reveal himself looking like this. It's going to be something. You know what this is going to be when it shows up? It's going to be something everybody can relate to. Everybody can relate to. Now with that in mind, let me show you. I got two more of these and we'll be done. Of course, I'll drag it out because I know you want to be here a long time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. This figure right here is the same one right here. It's this guy right here. That's the same person. That's the God of this world. He's no good. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4. He's the God of this world. Now look at Ephesians chapter 6 and let's read this. Now, the idea behind this sermon was what's going on in the world right now today. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 6 and we'll see what's going on in the world today. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6 and we'll start reading in verse number 12. Ephesians 6 verse 12, he says, well, let's read verse 10. May as well not skip this verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That devil's wily. He's slick. when the Lord described the devil, he said, "Thou art wiser than Daniel." That's pretty wise. Daniel, not the wisest man that's ever been. Solomon was. But then he had almost 1,000 wives, so I stand in doubt of him. But the Bible says he was wise, so we'll let the Bible have its way. But when the Lord decided he wanted to describe the devil, he said, "You're wiser than Daniel." He's wily. And you've got to, listen, it's one of those things where you've always got to be on defense. Always. Always. Listen, everything that comes down the pike, I'm wary of it. I don't care if it's got the name Christian attached. I don't care. If it comes down the pike and it's some new fad, I'm suspicious of it. I don't know how, 10 years ago they come out with this fad. Boys started wearing little bracelets on their arm. What would Jesus do? Read the Bible, stupid. It'll tell you. I mean, if you really want to know what Jesus would do, you don't have to wear a bracelet about it. You can just look in the Bible and find out, right? I mean, just some things don't strike me as something I want to do. Wear bracelets or nothing like that. But anyway, to each his own. But I just thought I'd throw that out there. Everything that comes down the pike might not be from God. Amen. Might not be from God at all. But Ephesians chapter 6 says this, we're not wrestling against men. Sometimes you think you've got an enemy that's a man, but there's something bigger than that behind it. Like, for instance, they say, well, the only problem there is in the world today is that the Illuminati. No, the Illuminati, they just down here like us. See, this is us down here. This is all us down here. There's three types of people in the world. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. There's Shemites. That's Jews. There's people from the children of Ham. That's black folks. There's people from the children of Japheth. That's white folks. Y'all don't mind if I be straight tonight, do you? I'm glad you came. I'm glad you came tonight. But look here. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's the only type of people that there is in the world. There ain't nobody down here. This represents everybody. Everybody there ever has been, everybody there ever will be represented right here. Ain't none of these people in charge. You know what the dumbest people on this world thinks? The dumbest people on this world thinks they're self-made men. You ain't. You're either a tool in the hand of God or you're a tool in the hand of the devil. You don't get to choose. You better hope that the first time somebody breaks out John 3:16 on you, you say, yes. Because that sin unto death, it's unbelief. It's unbelief. It's unbelief. Now, above us, we just seen it right there. Did I read the verse, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Let me say this. Black folks is not wrestling against white people. Amen? That's not happening. Now listen to me. This stuff up here, this principalities and powers, get you folks down here fighting amongst one another, then you off course. You off key. You off key. Listen, this, over the last 10 years, you know what they've been trying to do? They've been trying to, little states like Georgia and North Carolina, been trying to pass laws to protect Christians. That's the most ridiculous thing you could ever get in your mind. Is to let the government protect you. That's the worst case you could possibly be in. You don't need the government to protect you. You got God to protect you. Have you ever watched the news? The news knows just exactly the right button to push, don't they? Don't they? Don't they? Now, listen. I'm thankful for a God that's faithful. Because I was thinking tonight, some of the things I had to say probably be misconstrued. But I'm glad we got some black people coming here tonight. And I believe it's from God. Because listen to me. If the news media wants to push your button, they just, this man said nigger. And you know what? Communities get turned over and buildings get burned down and people get upset about that. Yes, sir. Another one. This man said queer. Well, if you're a man, you like another man, that's pretty weird to me. I was talking to a girl one time, and I said, I want to introduce you to this guy. She said, is he good looking? I said, I don't know. I don't have no idea. No clue. He looks like an old man. Looks like looks like a man. If he don't shave, he gets a beard. If he shaves, he don't have one. But you know what? There's something in the air that wants to keep people stirred up, thinking the fight is down here. The fight's not down here. The fight is not down here. It's not the Illuminati. Listen, the Illuminati, they just men like you and I. Republicans, they men like you and I. Democrats, they're men just like you and I. That's all in the world that there is going on in this world today. Now, let's look what it says. 1 John 5:19, we've read it so many times already. John chapter 17, we see by now that there's two types of people. Now, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, you've seen this, and you've heard it read over and over and over again. Matthew chapter 17, let's read it one more time just in case you're not familiar with it. Now look, here's the two types of people that's in the world. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 15. Matthew 7 and verse number 15. Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So you got to watch out mostly for religious people. Now look back in verse 13, lucky number 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. See that? The road to destruction, going to be a lot of people going in there. A lot. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You see that? A whole lot of people going to hell, and just a few people saved and going to heaven. So all these little blue dots represents the head of a lost man. There they are. And every one of these little green dots with the little flashy thing around it, that's one of God's people. I'll read you a verse that explains to you why I put them up there like that in just a few minutes. But if you'll see, the blue outnumbers the green by far. And there's more in this. Each one of these lines is a generation. And there's more in this generation than there is in this one. And there's more in this generation than there is in this one. And there's more in this generation than there is in this one. And there's none in this one. You see how that works out? You say, how do you know the world ain't going to end today? You got kids, don't you? You done infected them with Christianity, hadn't you? Now let's look and see what the Bible says. First of all, Proverbs chapter 30. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 30. And boy, if this isn't a description of the day and time that you live in, nothing is. We can close our Bible and go to the house, but you'll see it's absolute truth when you read it. Proverbs chapter 30, and let's start reading in verse number 11. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, to devour the poor. That's the easiest prey that there is, the poor. The poor. Listen, that's where they want to get you to the place where you're subject. You know what the Bible says? The borrower is subject to the lender. Subject. That's what the King of England uses for his people. Subjects. That don't make you feel good, does it? Paul said he's the servant of Jesus Christ. It'd be all right to be his servant, wouldn't it? If Jesus was providing you, you remember a while ago when I said I didn't want Christians to have the government take care of them? Because then the government would be your master. We was talking about that racial issue a while ago. Where does the majority of black folks live in the United States? They don't live behind gated communities unless it's a prison. They live in the poorest sections. You say, why? because the devil comes not but to steal. Listen, the government gets in control of you, and you see where I'm going with this? You don't, as a Christian, you don't want anybody but God taking care of you. Now listen, if you're a Shemite, if you're a Hamite, if you're from Japheth, you don't need anybody else's permission to be who you are. You don't need anybody's permission. The news media will push the buttons and say, if the white people would only accept the black people, if the white people would only accept the Indians, if the black people would only accept the Mexicans. And see, that's just a game to pit each other against. Listen, if you're a Mexican, you don't need anybody to accept you. You don't need anybody's permission to be white. Amen. Just because your great-great-grandfather owned a slave don't mean that you don't have any right to walk around on the top side of this earth and believe like you believe and act like you act. You don't need that kind of permission. If you're black, if you're white, it makes no difference. You don't need anybody's permission to be who you're going to be. Well, so-and-so don't accept me. Listen, every single snotty-nosed boy in school goes through that. They come on, Mama, they don't accept me. I don't have Jordans on. I don't have the right kind of shoes. I don't have the right kind of clothes. I don't have the right kind of... I didn't have the right sneakers for gym today, and everybody laughed at me. Let them laugh. Let them laugh. You say, well, don't feel good. I know. I know I got beat up just about every day till I was in the ninth grade. You know what you learn after that? You'll survive. I told you this morning about that. The first time I ever got, or until I was in the ninth grade, I got beat up all the time. You know why? You know what finally made me decide to fight back? I felt, you know, black eyes didn't hurt. Get hit in the face, it don't hurt. It might hurt 20 minutes later, but it don't hurt when you get hit. You know what the world? You know what the world right now needs? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but I mean, isn't that simple logic from back in the day? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. But if you do bring sticks and stones, I do carry around a pistol on a regular occasion. I mean, I don't need your permission to exist, but I'm not going to give you permission to kill me. Amen. So, you've got the devil up here and he has principalities and powers underneath him, and their job is to keep you from seeing the light of the truth. And sometimes there is a large amount of Christians, in the next generation there are fewer, in the next generation there are fewer, in the next generation this one just has one represented down here, the next generation there's another, there's none. And those generations we just read about there, that's where you're at today. You're getting closer and closer and closer to where this battle between that devil up there and the God who rightfully owns that throne are going to come head to head. Now let's look in Judges chapter 2 and let's see what the book of Judges says. Now, you see that generation where there's no Christian represented? That day's coming. Judges chapter 2, let's look at that. Judges chapter 2. Oh, Judges chapter 2, and let's start reading in verse number 8. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. Joshua died, all that generation died. Now look what come up after that. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works he had done for Israel. Now look, verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Right there he went. Now you want to see those little green? Those are not Martians. Those little green men are not Martians. Let's look at those. Look at Daniel chapter 12, since you're in the Old Testament already. Let's go by the book of Daniel. And look at Daniel chapter 12 is also one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I like the chapters in the Bible where things get set straight, don't you? Daniel chapter number 12, and let's look in verse Well, we can start reading in verse number 1. We read about Michael the archangel having that fight with the devil a while ago, so let's read that. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They'll shine. You see that? They'll shine like, you know what the Bible says about you? It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You're supposed to be a light in this world. He said, well, we're going to go and take over the world. You're not going to take over the world. Right now, the world belongs to the devil. The only one that's going to take over the world is God. Until that time, you're to be a light in this world. Now, let's look in Matthew chapter 13 and see. You say, well, I want to see what the New Testament says. Okay, Matthew chapter number 13, and let's read that verse. Matthew 13. Matthew 13 and verse, I got verse number 36 wrote up there. Matthew 13, 36. And it says, Matthew chapter 13, 36 through, see if I want to read it. Yeah, I'll read it all. Jesus sent the multitude away in, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The field is the world. That's been the theme of our whole study tonight, the world. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. See that reference? We done had that reference a couple of times tonight, ain't we? The wicked one. The wicked one. He says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. Isn't that the fight we've been talking about? Between the Lord and the devil. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. You know what a lot of, especially on TV, if you listen to preachers on TV, they talk about you fighting the devil. Why don't you let God fight the devil? Michael the archangel is a great and powerful angel. We just read that when God turns him loose, he's going to be able to cast the devil out. He got the power. But you know what happened when Michael the archangel, who has the power to whoop the devil, when Michael the archangel come face to face with the devil when he was disputing about the body of Moses, he didn't whoop the devil. He said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Power. We've got power. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's a mighty powerful position you've got. But God didn't call you to fight the devil. He called you to reach these folks in blue right here that's being deceived by the devil. You say, well, how do we do that? Through the Word. Let your light so shine. The Word of God is the light, isn't it? Well, he says, the field is the world, the good seed of the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then look what he says about you. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. You're to be a shining light. You're to be a shining light. You say, why should I be a shining light? Because one day this Jesus that took on the form of a man and died on the cross, one of these days he's going to sit down on that throne. Look back in Daniel chapter 7. Look back in Daniel chapter 7. I told you we was going to look at the Bible. We're not listening to man's opinion. We're looking at the Bible. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 9. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 9. This is more Bible than some of you read in a year. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. You know, one of these days, they're going to dismantle the throne in Washington, D.C. I'd hate to be the president then, wouldn't you? One of these days the Lord going to send somebody through the United Nations and take down every one of their seats. You ever seen that little setup they got in there? They got all these things around. They got each little country's nameplate. One of these days the Lord is just going to walk by and take up their nameplates. These belong to me now. He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, that's Jesus, and the hair of his head was like the pure wool, that's Revelation chapter 1, that's Jesus. His throne was like the fiery flame and his wheels as a burning fire. That's what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 1. He said, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And along with that, the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, the heaven and the earth. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what you see right here. That's what you see right here. We could go through Mark chapter 9, verse 43 and 44. John chapter 8, verse 44 and 45. But look what happens here. There's a throne set up. The Bible gives you a description of the colorful setting of this throne. You can read that in Revelation chapter 5. All these thousands and thousands stand before him, and the Lord is going to open this book and judge them according to the things that are written. You know how I know it's not a nameless, faceless book? Because God is a just God. He's not going to judge you about anything you don't know about or could have known about. Some people are going to say, God, I didn't know what was in the Bible, because you didn't want to know. How do you know that's true? He said, if you seek, you'll find. You could be in the darkest part of this world and say, God, I want to know the truth. God sends you somebody. You say, how do you know that? Because He's faithful. He's faithful. God's faithful. So when God begins to send people to hell, He's going to send people to hell because they went against this book, unbelief. The sin unto death is unbelief. And you know what people are going to find here in hell? Right now in this day and time, the Bible describes in the book of Revelation that in the last days it's going to be it's called the Church of Laodicea. You know what that means? The rights of the people. That word literally means the rights of the people. And everybody on the planet right now is scurrying for the rights. I want my rights. Even Christians, we want our rights. We want to be able to do what we want to do. Listen, just because you want to do it don't mean it's your right. And everybody says, well, I'm equal to you and you're equal to me and we're equal to everybody and queers is equal and everything. Everybody's not equal. Amen. Everybody's not equal. No, sir, they're not. You say, what's that all about? Well, let me show you this. A man gets up in the morning, he goes to work, he serves the Lord, he does right. Another man won't get up, he won't work, he won't do what's right, he won't serve the Lord. Those two men are not equal. They're not equal. And listen, in this world, people are going to say, I want my rights, I want my rights, I want my... You know what the Bible says? God's going to give them death because they are worthy. He's going to give them exactly what's coming to them. Exactly what's coming to them. Hell is the only place in this universe where men will ever find absolute equality. It's no wonder why the devil... Did the Bible not say the nations that forget God will be turned into hell? That's why all the nations of the world are scrambling for equality. You know what the Bible says about equality? When Cain killed his brother, God come over to Cain and said, look here, where's your brother? He said, I'm not my brother's keeper. Remember what I said you had a problem about taking care of your neighbor? That showed up right there, right after the Garden of Eden. It done showed up. He said, Cain, now what happened to your brother? He said, I don't know. I ain't my brother's keeper. He said, I can hear his blood calling to me from the ground. And they must have had some kind of conversation about God not accepting his works, because God turned to them and he said, if you do right, you'll be accepted. You know why? Listen, Christians, you know why you don't need Atlanta to give you Christian rights? Because if you'll do right, you'll be accepted. How about the folks back 1,000 years ago that got burned at the stake for believing the Bible? Where's their rights? How did Christianity survive the 1,000 plus years before there was an America? No, sir. How'd your grandma survive on a dirt floor? Mark chapter 9. Wrote it on the board. May as well read it. Mark chapter 9. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said if you'd work for Him, He'd give you what's right. He'd give you what's right. Well, that cured me. Hey, that's absolute truth right there. You know, as a young man, you know, studying the Bible, I'm going to be a great prophet. And I'm going to change the whole world. And boy, when they hear what I've got to say. And the Lord said, I believe I'll call you to Folkestone, Georgia. Now, that may not mean something to some of you, but if you grew up in the Appalachian Mountains, 100 feet from a creek full of trout fish, and then moved to Folkestone, Georgia, you'd see that the Lord's opinion of me was lower than my opinion of myself. And you know what I found? It's right. I found it's right. His opinion is right. Mark chapter 9, let's read these verses and we'll go to the house. I don't know how long I've preached, but I've told you what the Lord wanted said tonight. Mark chapter 9, and let's read verse 43. Mark 9, 43. He says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Oh, that's just figurative. Boy, Christians like to point out those figurative verses, don't they? Well, Brother Mike, don't you know it'd be awful? It'd be awful to cut your own hand off, and you know, we're not supposed to really... Well, yeah, I mean, I understand all that, but it's the emphasis of the verse that really should stick out. It'd be better to lose your hand than it would be to lose your soul. I mean, you can look at that and make fun of it. It's just a little bit of fire there. I mean, it's just some drawing but that's going to be real one day. That's going to be real. He says, verse 43, if at thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Here's why I wrote up the verse. I want you to notice what I did here. I took these people here. They're from before the throne. They're fully formed people. They've been thrown in to a lake of fire, and they're just not quite the same anymore. What do you notice that's missing right there? That looks similar to you? The little legs is missing, ain't they? Ain't that what he looks like? He's a great dragon. Got these wings sticking out here. He's a serpent. You ever seen a serpent with legs? I haven't. You say a lizard. That's not a serpent. That's a lizard. If they're spelled different, they're different things. See that fellow right there? The Bible says what that verse we just read said, these people get cast into hell there, not thee. A lot of preachers, you probably heard it all your life. You're going to go to hell and the worm ain't going to die. Didn't say thee worm. Didn't say the worms. It said there, possessive, their worm dieth not. You're going to look just like him, the one you've been serving. How many of you fellas in here, I didn't live with my biological father. I got one picture of him, and I look a little bit like him, and he's a reprobate. I wish I didn't look like him, but I look like my biological father. How many of you fellas look like your real daddy? Amen. Now look in John chapter 8. We looked at Mark 9:43 and 44. Now let's look in John 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And verse number 44. Ye are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father ye shall do. You ever wonder why a man would do the things that he does? Because his daddy would do it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Molly was telling me about that this morning, about that some psychology class she had to take. They recorded these men, these grown men, and these grown men was beating on this dummy. I think it was a clown or something like that. And then they took their kids and turned them loose and all these toys. And then there was this little dummy of a clown over there. Every one of them kids went over there and just started boxing that clown. The daddies did that. Some of you fellas, the only reason you ever took a drink of beer is because your daddy did. That, I'm not saying that's a blanket statement, but that's a good possibility. My daddy was giving me beer when I was still drinking in a bottle. Here, let me put some of this in there. That's wicked. That's wicked as it can be. Yes, sir. We was talking about race a while ago. You know why a lot of people are racist in this country? Because their daddies was. Just because their daddies was. Yes, sir. A lot of you people, the things you know on a daily basis, the only reason you know it is because your daddy knew it, and it ain't even right most of the time. But you'd swear to it because your daddy swore to it. You wouldn't believe how many people and folks and I've run into. I said, "Are you a Christian?" They say, "Yeah, my grandmother's a preacher." Your grandmother being a preacher don't make you a Christian. You must stand on your own two feet. What he says right here, he says, "You're of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning. You know why there's people selling drugs in Folkestone? Because that's what their daddy's a killer. I'm talking about their daddy, the devil. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Some people, you ever been around somebody that never helped you at all? Get away from them, they're the devil. Well, we're supposed to love everybody. You're crazy. You're crazy. Yes, sir. I got some crazy looks one time. I said, "I hate Marilyn Manson. Hate him." He said, "Well, I love him. The Lord died for him." You go witness to him then. Go ahead, go witness to him. The Bible says don't love in word, but love in deed and truth. That's where you find out what people are really about right there is what they do, not what they say. Man said, "I love you, baby." Then when the kid comes, where are they at? "I don't love you." It's a shame. It's a disgrace. Amen. When I was a 4-year-old kid looking around, where's my daddy at? Then I found out when he was 18, I found out where he was and went and see him. "I love you, man." In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, that can't be true. I hadn't seen you in 15 years. How can that be that you love me? I sent two of my daughters up to Delaware to stay with their grandmother for a couple of weeks, and I can't stand it, man. I tell you what. I mean, I might have preached a little bit hard today just because I ain't feeling too good because I'm separated from my children. I love them. I love them, man. I'm not trying to be over bravado or boisterous or anything like that. But, man, I would lay down my life, or I would lay down your life for my kids. Either one, whatever has to be done. I love them, man. But you know good and well that there's somebody in your life, they don't love you. They don't care nothing about you. Every time they come around you, it's about themselves. I mean, I bet everybody in this family has at least one family member that comes around not because they love you, not because they want to see you, but because they need $5. That's a picture of the devil. They come to break you. They come to break you. This world that's self-serving and self-centered, and it's all about me, 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 one of these days, they're going to look just like that devil. The Lord say, you want to follow Him? You're going to go to a place where your possessive, their worm dieth not. You're not going to... You know what? You know what in the Bible, you know what David said when he... I would pay attention to the Psalms if I was you, because that's where there's real worship going on. There's real communion between God and man. You know what the psalmist says when he considers his own condition? He says, I'm a worm and no man. What's he saying? I deserve to be in hell. You and I deserve to be in hell. You and I deserve that. This man went to the cross for us. This God that's going to sit on this throne took our place right here. Right here. Right here. And you know what he said? He said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can come. You can come. You know what he said? You know what Jesus said? He said he wasn't ashamed to call them brethren. You know what that is? That's another kind of equality. You know what he said to Israel? He said, I've stretched out my hand to you all day. He said, how often would I gather you under my wing like a hen doth its chicks? He said, but you would not. Yeah. A, how would a loving God send us to hell? He won't. You will. Amen. You will. You will. But let me make this very clear. God is going to come out on top. God is going to be the winner. Oh, but they're making inroads. No, that's exactly... Oh, they're making leaps and bounds. The wicked are taking over everything. That's exactly the way God laid it out. That's exactly... You're not going to change that? You're not... Well, we need to change our ways and become more worldly so people accept the church. The church doesn't need the world. The world needs the church. They need you to stay just like you've been for the last 2,000 years and keep on... Well, the crowd's getting shorter and shorter and the crowd's getting smaller and smaller and people don't want to show up no more. You keep showing up. You... Listen, if you are the last star, if you're the last one, keep your light on. It's worth it. Keep your light on. You know what Jesus was? He was the last one standing. They come to take Jesus, and he looks around, all of his friends running away. But you know what he did? He went on. He went on. He went on. Will you go on? Will you go on? Nathan, you come play a little something. God spoke to your heart tonight. I don't know if he has or not. But I would say this. I would say this to you. I would say it's time we got on the altar and said, God, help us. God, lead us. God, guys, God, help us to stand strong. Listen, I know it's a difficult time that we live in. It's awful hard to do the right thing sometimes. Sometimes. But if you'll stay in the book, if you'll keep your eyes on God, if you won't let the world lead your desires, you won't be in depression half as often as you are. Keep your eyes on Him. He'll do what's right for you. He'll always do what's right for you. That's one thing I know about my God. He will always do what's right for you. God spoke to your heart. You can pray in your seat. You can pray up here. But pray. God help me. God help me. God help me. And you know what He'll do? He'll help you. Because He's faithful. He'll help you because He wants to. He'll help you because He didn't come to kill, steal, or destroy. He'll help you because He come to help you. The Bible said He'll make you free. Not He'll set you free. He'll make you free. Setting somebody free means you send them off by themselves. Making you free, He'll be free with you. He'll walk with you. He'll guide you every step of the way. Will you walk with Him? Will you walk with Him? That's a decision you got to make for yourself tonight.